Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, love the lies, feline, with a death wish. Right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. It's a special show. Raheel Ramzanali will join us at 11:15 for his brand of nonsense. He's already got some topics. He hasn't sent them to me yet, so I'm a little worried, but Raheel will join us at 11:15. He is the host of CityCast. You can find that wherever you find podcasts. But excited to have him on. And we also have a fill-in at the producer position. Sean has a couple of days he needs to take, so he's taking them. So in his place, we have Abigail. You guys will know her from many shows. She's filled in from time to time, and she does the Boss and the Gloss. Have you filled in for Glenn Davis before?
Yeah, I did that last week.
Okay, so she's done this before. You guys know of her. If you've ever been out to a station event, she's been at some of them, and of course she does the producing thing too. So that's the voice you'll hear from time to time. That isn't Sean. Sean will be back on Monday. AJ will join us tomorrow. AJ will produce the show tomorrow, where Michael Carroll will do his weekly segment. Okay, what happened last night? Big things, if I was living in London, I'd say it that way. But we had the Bregman signing, and we also had Kevin Durant in town. And it was a big night for the Houston media because Kevin Durant's been the object, or at least the alleged object, of the Rockets' affection for a while. We've heard that he's a guy that they would love to add, and then it shifted to Devin Booker. Now, Devin Booker didn't play along with Bradley Beal. The Rockets get a nice win in a surprisingly, at least for me, back-and-forth game when the likes of Ty Washington and Bol Bol and others are trying to help the Suns stay competitive while Kevin Durant's out there by himself. Can't imagine Kevin Durant thought to himself when he got traded to Cleveland, which was his first option when he asked for a trade. The thought of playing with Devin Booker was appealing. I'm sure Phoenix sold him on a plan that they would acquire another player that would help him. That other player was Bradley Beal, someone that the Suns wanted out this season right before the trade deadline. Couldn't get it done. I imagine he thought to himself a lot of nights it would be him, Booker and Beal going at it, putting up points and overwhelming teams with their ability to put the ball in the basket. Didn't think he foresaw looking for shots for Bol Bol. Bol Bol played pretty well. He helped the Suns stay in it. It was a back and forth game. Credit to Dylan Brooks for hitting a couple big jumpers late. He has shot the ball really well over the last 10 games or so. Like, he's a 44% 3-point shooter. The last 10 games, nearly 39% overall. He's having a really good year shooting the ball from deep, which is a surprise. That wasn't his forte coming to the Rockets. In fact, he was having his worst year shooting when he signed with the Rockets. There were some questions about why they would do it. We've seen it. Whatever's happening in those practices, whatever the shooting coach is getting done, keep doing it, because Dylan Brooks has become a reliable shooter at high volume. He shoots like 6 of them a game, and he's knocking it down at nearly 39%. So he helped. And Thompson had a great game. And, of course, Jalen Green had his moments, too. Wasn't all that efficient, but he had his moments. Rockets win. And as old as Kevin Durant is in basketball terms, and I know when you think about him and you think how much will we have to give up in the offseason, I've mentioned it before, but Brian Windhorst of ESPN is saying Kevin Durant's getting traded. That thing is happening, whether it be to the Rockets or someplace else. He is available. The Suns are going to make a trade, and Kevin Durant knows he's going to get traded. That's according to Brian Windhorst. So when you see him in person, or at least you see him playing against your team. In theory, you think to yourself, hey, how much should we really be giving up for a 36-year-old? But when you watch him out there playing around a bunch of guys who are fringe NBA players, not even fringe rotation players, we're talking about fringe NBA players, and he is keeping them afloat against a pretty young and good Rockets team. They were without Fred VanVleet. You think to yourself, he looked pretty good here. He looked pretty good even at 36, 37 years old. You're likely going to have to give him an extension if you trade for him, and the Suns are going to be asking for a lot. They ask for a lot before the deadline. The price may come down, but if they're getting off of Kevin Durant, they're going to want plenty. The Rockets have plenty to give. There will be a line, I'm sure, the Rockets draw in the sand about how much they're willing to give up if they're in on the Kevin Durant stuff. But, yeah, the theory of him, he's too old, understood. But when he's out there putting up 30-plus points a night in the way he does it, when he makes it look so easy, I get why it's appealing. I get why the Rockets have him as a target. At least they may have had him as a target. He turned the ball over quite a bit last night. Didn't get back on defense after some of those turnovers, so you might have taken notice of that. But his ability to score the basket without a lot of help, you kind of get why he is going to be someone very appealing in the offseason. Well, we got plenty of time to get there. The Rockets have a playoff run ahead of them before they do that, and I'm sure a lot of that run will determine how aggressive they are. And I wonder how it will go. Like, if they get knocked out in the first round, right now they're back to the 4 seed. The Lakers got blown out in Utah last night, so the Rockets take back the 4 seed. If they get knocked out in the first round early, does that make them think they need to make a major move? Or do they need to go on a deep run and get stopped short and go, okay, we need one more piece? I wonder how they'll approach it, because getting knocked out early, which if you go by the odds, people think that could happen. Getting knocked down the first round, you may think to yourself, let this team grow. They're not one older player away when you think about how much you're going to have to give up to get them. But if you go on a deep run and you're one star away, I can see the Rockets getting maybe more aggressive than some might like. I know people like the young core and the youth and what that might mean for the future. The financial stuff aside, where you actually have to start paying these guys like Tari Eason. He doesn't play back-to-back because he's still trying to get healthy. But you see the potential. You see why Ime was so high on him. That source that told, well, it's not even a source. Ime said it himself, that Tari reminds him of Kawhi. And John Granato told us that at one point the Rockets thought he was their best player. You see it out there. And that's even with Amen Thompson having his big game, getting a triple-double. You see the appeal of Tari Eason. You just wish at his age, where you would think he'd be at his healthiest, he would be able to play more games. Don't expect him tonight, I would think, in a back-to-back situation, the Rockets' final game before the All-Star break. Thankfully for them, they have a team coming in who also is dealing with a back-to-back. The Warriors lost late last night it was a close game. Jimmy Butler called for, I think it was an offensive foul, led to a turnover. Kind of gave the Mavs the chance to hit a couple free throws to put the game away. So you may not see Steph Curry tonight. Steve Kerr talked about the strain it puts on the NBA as a whole, not just his team, to play these type of back-to-backs, which are doing it for TV. And he kind of slightly railed against the NBA for not taking care of the players and not putting their health first. So the question of whether you'll see Steph Curry, that's up in the air. Whether you'll see Jimmy Butler, up in the air as well. So the Rockets, while Tari Eason likely won't play, Jabari Smith won't be available, Fred VanVleet probably won't play, you may have a Warriors team where Podzinski's taking the most shots, and Buddy Hield is another guy they're going to be depending on more than they normally would. So you might be at an advantage again tonight, just like you were last night. And, you know, they need it. It's now two in a row. Abigail thinks she is a good luck charm. She went to the game against Toronto. It broke the losing streak.
Well,
Toronto just had a lot of players out, and that's why they won.
But okay, they were kind of bad.
Yes, that was an awful game. She took her brother to that game as a birthday gift.
It was, yes.
And the game he got was the Toronto Raptors versus the Rockets. Look, good the Rockets won. But
I mean, we didn't play as good as well.
No, but as far as the entertainment value of the game, could have picked a better game. It's not his fault. It's not your fault. It's just how it goes. It's Sunday afternoon before the Super Bowl. I'm really more judging the Rockets for their performance. They won. They played poorly, but they won. They didn't play as poorly last night, but it was close, but they found a way. They were very good in the fourth quarter, something that has been a problem for them as of late, but they got the win. And Art, I don't know whose big belly just blocked the camera. I don't know. Someone walked in there. I don't know who it was. I think we were given a tour, and one of the tweets was, who blocked the camera?
Esme was showing people around.
Yeah, there were people in there. Art, apparently, for the first time ever, you're locked in on what's going on in there. Generally, you're just making fun of Sean, but now you care about the camera. Okay, Art, I see you working. All right, if you want to get in on the show, you can, 713-780-3776. We'll hear from Kevin Durant when we come back. He was very complimentary of the Rockets and of Ime Udoka. There's a connection with him and some of their young players. The funny thing is, maybe some of those young players get sent to Phoenix in a world if the Rockets do acquire Kevin Durant. But right now, they're opponents and friends in the offseason. So we'll hear from him there. We'll talk about the Bregman signing. And I saw some of the reaction last night on social media. Some people are like, go with God, Bregman. Appreciate everything you did. You got your bag on a short-term deal. We're cool. Others are like, I hope he fails. And you can tell me, I feel that's because of who he signed with. The Red Sox, they're not rivals, but you've played them in the playoffs and you've had big moments against them. I think that's what it's about. Correa wound up in Minnesota. Who cares about the Twins? I mean, George Springer wound up in Toronto. Who cares? Who cares? It would have been fine, even though there was a time when the Astros and the Cubs were real rivals. If he wound up with the Cubs, he probably would have been fine with the Tigers, even though AJ Hinch is there. And they beat you in the two-game series, in the wild card series this past season. But to wind up with Boston, and the stretching out of this whole thing, I think it pissed a lot of people off. I don't know how anyone feels. I know, Eric, you're an Astros fan. Others are. You want to let me know how you feel about Bregman being a Red Sox specifically? Not just that he's gone, because we felt like that was happening, but the fact that he will be playing in Boston maybe for the next 3 years. He has opt-outs after the first two, but you can get in and talk about that. 713-780-3776. It's me and Abigail till 12. Raheel joins us at 11:15. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
JG, I mean, we built a good bond over the last few years. And to see his growth as a player and his confidence level has grown since he got into the league. Been working out with Jabari a couple times, somebody I always watched when he was in high school at Auburn. These guys just want to be great, man. You know, you're in the gym all summer, you playing pickup, you go back from pickup to lifting weights to come back the next morning and do the same thing. You know, it's going to pay off at a certain point. So what I took from them is like the work ethic, you know, and attention to detail. And you got guys like Royale, Ime, and the rest of the coaching staff who's going to hold them to a standard every day. You're going to see growth in them pretty quickly.
That's Kevin Durant last night. Has a relationship with a lot of the young Rockets. We may play some sound later in the show of him talking about his time with Ime and what Ime provides. They were together while Ime was an assistant in Brooklyn, and Kevin Durant had some time there, obviously, before things fell apart there. Rockets win 119-111. In a game where Kevin Durant goes for 37, does turn the ball over seven times. And the Rockets, 35-19 in the fourth quarter. That was nice to see, where they made the plays, including knocking down some big shots. Amin went for 18, 11, and 10, and Tari went for 25, and Jalen went for 22. So they get that one. They got the Warriors tonight. Will Jimmy Butler or Steph Curry play? That's to be decided. Steve Kerr hasn't made that decision yet. We'll see what the Rockets have to face before their final game, in their final game before the All-Star break. Okay, so the Astros lose out on Bregman. The inevitable happened. We felt like this was going to be how this played out. Been talking about it really since the end of the season. From the moment that Altuve spoke about wanting his guy back and saying he was going to come back, this was a storyline. I thought even last offseason Bregman was going to come back. The Astros didn't seem all that motivated to bring him back, and he wanted to get to free agency and see what he could get. He did not get the long-term $30 million per year deal that he appeared to be looking for the $200 million deal. What he did get was a short-term deal where he gets $40 million a year. So while the years aren't there, the AAV is there. So is it a win for Bregman? I think so. I think he's going to a ballpark where he hits well. I'll give you some of the numbers there. And he plays for a team that has aspirations of winning. And he also gets $40 million a year, something the Astros weren't going to hit, at least over the course of more than three seasons. They weren't going to do it. And I don't think that they're ever going to approach that, no matter how many years. So it's over. It was inevitable, but it does suck that he winds up a Red Sox. That's the one thing I'm bothered by. Sean and I talked about this because we've had to talk about this for a while. I did not care if he was, at least early on, if he was a Met or a Cub or a Tiger. No matter what, the Red Sox thing is a problem. That's a guy you've gone to battle with against that team in big series. I think you split those. I'm not exactly sure how that played out over the course of the run. And instead, you're going to have to be dealing with him in a ballpark he likes.
I mean, I think he was also still, like, very unsatisfied in Houston. And even Altuve was, like talking to him and, like, tried to talk him out of it. But, I mean, it is what it is.
I think some of it has to do with this is your team. You expect them to compensate you in a way that you believe is appropriate. And then when they come in at a number that's below what you think you're worth, particularly for them, I mean, sure, it's business, but some of it's emotion. Like, hey, why not pay me what I'm asking for? And the Astros have a line. They don't go for the years stars get now, and they don't go for the money, particularly because of age. Bregman is going to be, well, at least if he was going to get that six-year deal for the Astros, he was going to be in his mid-30s, and that's at a point for them where they think it's diminishing returns. We're not going to pay an older player that type of salary. We don't think it makes sense. The Astros have always operated that way, and they will continue to operate that way for Crane. Bregman wasn't special in that regard. Correa wasn't special in that regard. Springer wasn't special either. There's no one who's special. They've given Altuve money earlier than normal. He doesn't get the free agency, and that makes sense for the level of player he is, the status he has. They try to do we'll give you more money early so we don't have to deal with it on the back end when you do hit free agency. At some point, this will be a Yordan scenario too. Now, he's got years. We don't have to worry about it for now. But Yordan, years from now, if he decides you can't give me money early, I want to hit free agency, we'll do this dance again. And the dance will end with the Astros standing on the wall while Yordan's dancing with someone else in the gym. That's who they are. It's who they are as long as Jim Crane is here. I think we all, if we haven't already, we should come to accept it. We are going to lose our star players. And the problem is they're not a lot left. I think the Astros have done a good job planning for this. They were ready for this eventuality. It's just now it's real. We are going to see Alex Bregman head to spring training with the Red Sox. And I know people are pointing to the first time he comes back to Daikin now, no longer Minute Maid. I think it's August 11th, I think it's the first game. But I mean, spring training. They're both in Florida. So there's a possibility that we'll see Bregman in a Red Sox uniform playing as the Astros in less than a month. That's where we are. The moments are great. I mean, you guys all know. You guys all got him in your head of all the things he's done from the World Series in 2017 to what he did against Boston in Boston against Chris Sale. He has been one of the cornerstones for a while. Now there's just one left. I mean, we can include McCullers, but McCullers never pitches. He's not going to be ready for the start of the season. You just hope at some point he gets back to a level of health where he can contribute. But it's Altuve, and that's all that's left. It's simply a matter of the passage of time. I mean, it's going to happen. It was bound to happen. But Brian McTaggart is doing the thing where he reminds you of what once was and what no longer is. So he put out a tweet. This is the COVID year. He put out a tweet of the Astros 2020 opening day lineup. It was Springer, Altuve, Bregman, Brantley, Yuli, Correa, Reddick, Aledmys Diaz, Maldonado, and Verlander. Only one remains. And they want to move that guy to left field at some point. Because apparently, no matter what, that's going to happen. Bregman gone, but Altuve will be a part-time left fielder this year. And the social clip for this show yesterday was us, well, Sean and I talking about it. It's going to be entertainment for us. I would suggest watching. He may be great. He may be bad. I think he'll fall somewhere in the middle where he's just okay. But I'm watching Altuve in left field. Just want to see what happens. Bregman against him and Fenway. Bregman hitting a ball to left field in Fenway. And Altuve trying to play a ball off the monster. It's like an alternate universe that's real. That's going to be a thing this year. I don't know. It's not guaranteed that he plays in left field, but it's possible he plays in left field in Fenway with Bregman at the plate. With, I don't know, Eric Eddie pitching or something. It's wild. It's wild. But it's over. There will be a lot of tributes going forward for him. And we ask sometimes who gets a tribute video and who doesn't on their return. He's getting a tribute video. And it'll be well-deserved. Two-time champion, one of the best Astros of this era. And he'll spend at least a year. It's not guaranteed, but he'll spend at least a year in a rival uniform. Did you ever buy a Bregman jersey?
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
No, I had an Altuve jersey.
Well, that one still works out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That going forward, everybody, I mean, yeah, you can have your Yordan jersey, but just know at some point he'll probably be wearing another uniform, just how the Astros operate. But the Altuve thing, you're good.
Yeah, it's crazy to see Bregman in a Red Sox jersey. I'm not going to lie.
It's not going
to
be fun, I think. People will get over it. I know some people, as I said in the first segment, are going to hate on him because he chose the Red Sox. And they may believe still that the Astros had the best offer. He just didn't like it at the number for those years. But
do you think that some Astros fans will move over to the Red Sox
because
of Bregman?
No chance. That's not how this city's built. Like there, and it doesn't really work that way in baseball. I mean, there's probably some Ohtani fans that move from the Dodgers, the Angels to the Dodgers, but the Angels don't have
my family did that.
Well, there's one. There we got an example. I don't think Bregman's going to garner that type of following where people are going to be like, you know what? I was a Bregman fan, not an Astros fan. Well, you know, maybe the people who rooted for him for when he was at LSU who decided I was going to root for him with the Astros. But as far as Houston born and bred or even people who moved here and have been here for a while, nah. Will they root for Bregman? Well, like I know people – I saw a shot of the stands in Dallas last night when they were playing the Warriors where there was a woman wearing a Luka Lakers shirt. I don't think that's happening. I don't think people are going to be wearing a Boston Bregman shirt or jersey in Daikin Park. I don't think that's happening. Mm-hmm. Luka wasn't even in the building. She still did it as a sign of protest for the trade. That's not happening. I think some people will wish him well. Some people will hate. He's not getting booed. I don't believe that's happening when he comes back. It'll just be, oh, that sucks. He's just another guy who we're all trained for. We're all used to it now. Our favorite players who help win titles leave. We know the list. The only one who would get booed, but it's been years now, like Gerrit Cole might get booed for how he acted right after they lost the World Series, but even that's kind of dead and buried. So we'll get over it. The Astros have trained us to understand that they're not going to keep guys that get older and want deals that stretch into their mid-30s, but the new blood is here. Spring training opens today. The Astros are out there. The pictures are out there. Fromber and Christian Javier, Brian McTaggart, Sweet Now Photo. So while Bregman is gone, we still got guys. We're still one of the favorites to win the AOS. So comfort yourself with that. Okay, we will we'll go to break. We'll come back here, and we'll get into some Texan stuff because Stephon Diggs is your big free agent, and Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, ranked the top 100 free agents in the NFL. Diggs is among them. And he's the only Texan on the list, which means you're probably set up pretty well as far as your roster in 2025. You just need to fix a couple things, mainly with the offensive line. So we'll talk about free agency in the NFL when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Buzz Williams Show is on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Giggo.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the Texans here, but Dana Brown spoke. He's out at spring training, and the reporters got to ask him questions about the Bregman news. A guy who's had to answer these questions really all offseason and has been very noncommittal because probably in the Astros' eyes, they were never that serious about bringing him back. They knew that the numbers were too drastic as far as what as far as what they're offering and what the Boris camp and Bregman wanted. So here's Dana Brown out of spring training reacting to questions about Bregman now being a Red Sox.
I've heard about it. I don't think it's official yet, but you know, so I won't comment on that.
Are you happy at least there's some clarity, or was there always clarity for you guys because you were moving forward regardless with Perez and Walker?
Look, I would say, you know, if it's true, you know, I'm happy for Bregman. You know, he had a great run here, you know, and so that's all pretty much I can say.
Have you reached out to the camp to find out the situation?
Have you reached
out to Boris or the player to find out what the situation?
No.
Why not? Just to confirm?
Yeah, I won't get into what we do in terms of our free agent.
How engaged were you guys down the stretch with this?
You know, as I said before, you know, we've had a lot of internal discussions, and I'll leave it at that.
How engaged was Jim?
Like I said, I'll leave it at that.
What, moving forward without Alex, what do you feel, what's your takeaway about what's going to look like?
Look, we feel very confident that Paredes is going to be really good at third base. He's going to provide a lot of power. He's going to hit somewhere in the middle of our lineup, so we're excited about that. You know, but, you know, acquiring Paredes was, you know, part of, you know, what we would do to fill that position at third base.
How do you view Lance?
So that's Dana Brown. Pretty much the tone he's used all offseason. This time he had to do more avoidance. I'm not sure why. If it is official, I guess you can't talk about a player. But if it's not official, I'm not sure why he couldn't talk about Bregman more. But he didn't want to answer questions. The interesting thing for me was someone did ask him how involved Jim Crane was, and he gave no answer. So I think we're maybe 24 hours away from Dana Brown no longer having to talk about Alex Bregman and the possibility of him being an Astro again. The only thing else will be when he returns, I'm sure there'll be words, nice words spoken. The players will be asked this week as well. So we'll hear from plenty of players about what appears to be the departure of Alex Bregman. Apparently, Dana Brown hasn't gotten word that it's official. You heard him talk about that. Boris? Talking to Boris? No, I'm not talking to Boris. So even then, people want to know how often he's talking to Scott Boris about this thing. And once again, he's like, not so much, which has been the tone and the position from him throughout. He's not talking to Boris about this, at least not very much. Every time we've heard that question asked, it's, yeah, I got to reach out to Scott. So there it is. Dana Brown's first comments on Alex Bregman no longer, it appears, at least being an Astro. He's a Red Sox. We'll get over it. It just sucks right now. Okay, so Stephon Diggs is the the Texans' best free agent available. He's ranked 51 on the CBS Sports list. He's the only one in the top 100, and I think that's a good thing. You are not scrambling to bring back the most important people on your roster. You've got Danielle Hunter locked up. You've got Will Anderson as a rookie locked up. Now, you're eventually going to have to pay him. That'll come in the next couple off seasons, if not this upcoming one. We'll see how they do it. I don't think it'll happen this off season, but it'll be something they have to monitor and they'll manage their cap, knowing that they have two top five picks on their roster that they have to pay in the next couple seasons. So the benefit of having two impactful players that are young is the fact that you don't have to pay them a lot of money, and they are far outplaying their deals. The disadvantage is when you trade up into the top five in the same draft class that you took another top five player, particularly when one's a quarterback, it's going to cost you a lot. The quarterback's going to cost you a lot. The fact that you traded into the top five for that quarterback, actually, I don't even know the logistics of that, but either way, the quarterback and the defensive end, who's another high impactful star type player, and they play those positions that get you paid. So they have some decisions to make. So if you look at the Texans, they're not very active in the offseason as far as bringing in a big name. Think of their future. Stingley, they definitely got to pay coming up here, and they've got two premier position players that they have to give money to. So I don't expect a lot. I hope they can find a way to manage their offensive line. But the question is, as far as Stephon Diggs, what's he worth? Because we had a question this morning about Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp, his cap hit for the Rams is in the high 20s as far as millions of dollars is concerned. So you get why they want to trade him. He's a guy who misses a lot of time. But the question was about Cooper Kupp coming here. I don't understand. Cooper Kupp will be 32 in June. Why do you want to acquire a 32-year-old receiver who doesn't play as often as you'd like and his production has dropped the last 3 years? He hasn't broken 1,000 yards in three seasons. Why are we so attracted to the thought of bringing in a star name? Right? That's all it is, right? Because you look at Cooper Kupp as a player. There's nothing that says go trade for him. And I don't know how the money works, what you're going to take on if you have to trade for him, how that gets distributed to the Rams and to yourself. But what's the appeal there? He's not as good as he once was, and you got to pay him. He's going to cost, and it's going to cost you compensation. Probably not a lot, but more than I'm willing to give up. Lance and others in their first mock drafts, because we're in draft season, which means we're going to deal a lot with mock drafts, have projected receivers to the Texans. I'm more about that approach. Go cheap at receiver. You're already expensive enough with Nico. And, of course, Tank likely won't play in 2025. But go get yourself a cheap young receiver. And hopefully he turns out to be a Brian Thomas type, who was a later first-round pick for the Jags, who people will point to and go, the Texans could have had him if they hadn't traded out of the first and used one of those seconds to go take Stephon Diggs. It's hindsight. But having a first-round pick in Brian Thomas under cost, who's cost controlled, and you have him for several years that you don't have to worry about paying him, you'd be in a much better spot. But you took your shot, you went in on the 2024 season, and you wound up where you were after the 2023 season, and really you wound up after every successful Texans season. There's a cap, and it's always losing in the divisional round. So the last 2 years are familiar for us. The year was supposed to be better than that, and that's why people got fired. And that's why there might be changes beyond the coaching staff with personnel in the offensive line. I hope that does get done. That seems like their biggest impediment for them taking the next step. They don't match up with the best teams in football. Even when you look at the Chiefs, who got dominated in the Super Bowl, their offensive line's better than the Texans. Patrick Mahomes does his magic, sure. But the best teams in football, their offensive line's pretty good. It's just kind of how it goes. You look at the Ravens, and Ronnie Stanley, I think, is available, but good offensive line. Texans have invested. They just haven't hit on those guys, and the chemistry hasn't worked out, and that's why things have changed. But Stephon Diggs, 30-plus-year-old player, he's your top free agent. You should let someone take that on. Don't bring back Stephon Diggs.
Why are you saying that, though?
I'm saying it because he's an older receiver who is going to cost more than I think he's going to produce. I don't think the value that he's going to provide matches up with what he's likely going to ask for. That's why. As a team, I understand they think they're pretty close, that they acted that way in 2024, but I would say adding an older receiver doesn't get you closer to your goal. If you need to pay someone in the realm of what Stephon Diggs is going to ask for, go pay a guard for that. If you need to replace Shaq Mason, which I think you do, make that happen. And I'm not your financial guy. There's someone later. There are probably people on this station who have the financials broke down. I'm not that guy. I don't care that much about that in February. Just go find yourself a good guard. However you do it, I don't really trust Nick Caserio to draft a good guard. He doesn't have a track record of that. But however it needs to get done, go do it and make receiver a priority in the draft. It's not a great class, but try to find yourself one and maybe make up for what could be considered a mistake by letting Brian Thomas wind up as a Jag. She was giving me a signal to wrap it up. I think I saw that. Sean doesn't do that. Sean never does that. We just go. But, hey, times have changed, at least for a day. We will go to break here. If you want to get in on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. We got more from Durant on the Rockets, but we'll get to a former Rocket because he passed a Rockets legend on the scoring list. We'll hear from James Harden about Hakeem Olajuwon when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD 97.9 HD2.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Raheel Ramzanali will join us at 11:15. Look, I don't know what he's going to do. I'm going to be honest. All he told me was he was going to send topics to talk about. He has yet to do that. He's recording, I think. He's going to join us after that. So it'll be up to him. We'll see how it goes.
Michael keeps you on your toes.
That's one way of putting it. We will see what happens when he joins us, and then Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. And I bring that up because I'm going to ask Abigail something right after I tell you about this. Let the good times roll. Take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for the occasional invitational benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament will take place on Fat Tuesday, March 4th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. You could call that Granado's home course. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Brownback Deli, dinner from Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, and 18 holes of golf. You can register now at ESPN975.com, 975.com, under the promotions tab, and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration until Friday. That's not what I'm going to ask you about, Abigail. Not the golf.
I mean, I would hope not.
I mean, I could, and then it would just get weird. But we do a segment with Michael Carroll every Friday where we talk about movies. We talk about what you should or shouldn't watch. You have been known to recommend things for me to watch.
Sean.
And Sean, to varying degrees of success about how we respond to those recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
This is a short segment because I ignored you telling me to wrap it up in the previous segment.
You did.
It's my right. So sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't.
But Sean doesn't do it, so you don't.
I don't have to worry about it. We just figure it out. But you've got a different way of doing things. So be it. But
I learned from you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
You didn't learn from me.
I'm pretty sure.
I mean, you might have been in there and got taught, but you didn't learn anything. Not from me. I think Joe taught you more than I did. You were too busy hating to learn from me.
That's crazy. I never hated. What are you talking about?
That's a lie is what that is. So do you have any recommendations for the people? What are you watching? What should people take a look at? Because Michael has a way, he has thoughts about things. They may differ from yours. What are you watching? What do you think people should watch?
Okay, well, you're going to say that this is so cheesy. I made Sean watch it, and it's called The Sideline QB and Me.
You've talked about this.
Yeah, I did.
Or maybe not Sean air, talked but... about it. Yeah, you're right. I'm not watching The Sideline. I don't like
Why
the
not?
Name. Isn't it featuring like a TikToker as the star?
Yes.
Sham shaking her head. Yes, yes. She's nodding.
But it's like something that you can like watch, and it's like a rom-com. And it's so sweet, and it's a happy ending.
I don't care about that at all. Are they good actors?
Yeah, I would say. There's a prequel
Sam,
coming out.
I haven't seen
okay,
haven't seen
she hasn't seen
Sam
it.
Sam hasn't
okay.
seen it.
Okay. The sideline. It's sidelined. The quarterback in me.
He is in school, and he gets a job, or he gets a offer for USC, to play for USC as a QB.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a love interest in the movie that's also playing in California, or not playing, dancing in California. Hmm. I forgot where she was dancing.
So James Vanderbeek,
Cal Arts.
James Vanderbeek Dawson is in the movie. He's also Johnny Mox Moxon from Varsity Blues. There may be some meta thing going on. Does he play like the coach? Does Vanderbeek? You might not know. He's. I don't.
I'm pretty.
She doesn't know who Dawson is. This is tough for me. She doesn't know. That's rough. I can't explain it any other way. He's Dawson Leary from Dawson's Creek. He's look it up and tell me if that guy plays a coach, because there may be a meta thing there where they get the guy who played in Varsity Blues and now he's the coach of a high school quarterback.
He's actually the dad.
Oh, he's the dad. So in Varsity Blues, the dad was overbearing and was pushing that kid, and that kid didn't.
That's literally what happened.
Okay, yeah. So it's a meta thing where he used to be the quarterback. Now he's playing the dad of the quarterback. Okay, that would be appealing. Not enough for me to watch the movie, but at least I can see what they're doing there. So Sidelined, the quarterback. You can watch it on Tubi if that tells you about the quality.
That's crazy. They actually have really good movies on Tubi.
Do that. Original movies or movies they've grabbed that have been made by other people?
I don't know. I mean, maybe...
Yes.
They do have, I think, Pride and Prejudice on there.
That's not one of theirs.
I know. That's not one of theirs.
Someone else made it.
I know.
But this one appears to maybe be a Tubi original, considering they got Noah Beck to star in it.
Oh, it is a Tubi original.
Oh, then no chance. It's good. No chance.
Did you see him and Alex Earl did like a...
I can tell you right now, no, I did not. I can tell you right now, no.
They did a commercial
All
together.
I know about Alex Earl is that commercial. She dates Braxton Berrios, the slot receiver who's played... across the entire AFC East, except for the Bills. So that's your suggestion.
Yeah.
Sideline, the quarterback and me.
I did suggest something to Brian the other week, and he did watch it. It's called Evil Dead Rises, and it's the opposite of Sideline QB and Me. It's probably the worst horror movie.
Is it because it's good?
It's a really gory horror movie.
Is that the one where they're in the apartment?
Yes.
I've seen that one.
You have?
Yeah, it's fine.
He got scarred. He said, "I'm never taking any recommendations from you."
It's brutal. It's a brutal movie to watch. But if you like horror, you'll be fine if you're used to it. But yeah, if it's something that it's not what you're used to, it's gonna be tough.
What have you been watching?
Well, we talk about that tomorrow. But Paradise on Hulu. It's a twisty thriller type deal where the president dies. You have to find out who killed him. There's also another mystery involved. I won't give that away because that's the big mystery that ends the first episode. So I won't give that away. I'm watching that. We've got Captain America coming out tomorrow. Well, I guess tonight people can watch it, but I will watch it this weekend. And of course, the show coming up here, or it's a movie in this case, Anya Taylor-Joy and Miles Teller.
I love Miles Teller.
Big surprise.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's The Gorge on Apple TV. It's a movie about two trained military personnel who are separated by the aforementioned gorge. And there's evil down in the gorge, but it's set on Valentine's Day, so there's a romance element as well. That's not the part that I care about. It feels like that part's going to be very dumb. But there are evil monsters down in the gorge that they're going to have to kill. So I'm going to watch that, and hopefully the romance part doesn't ruin that part of it. We will see. We will see. So that's the that's the show's show. I don't know if Sideline, the quarterback in me, will be the show's movie.
Oh, I feel like it would be.
It won't be. Because you won't be producing tomorrow or consistently.
I'll text Michael. Don't worry.
Michael Carroll's not going to recommend that. And I said the show's show. Once again, The Gorge is a movie you can see on Apple TV. Shout out to Anya Taylor-Joy. She likes Miles Teller. He was in that movie with I forgot.
He was in Top Gun.
Yeah, not that one. It's the one where he plays the drums. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, Whiplash.
Whiplash. There it is. There it
Sam
is.
Sam got it.
Thanks, Sam. Sam will be doing Picture Day with Lance Erline and others later in the day because Lance didn't take his pictures when he should have. All right, we will come back with what I plan to get to. I just forgot. So we'll get to that when we come back. Hour one is over. If you want to get in on the show, you can. 713-780-3776. I don't think we'll do an Ask Abigail segment because I don't trust you guys. I would have done it, but I don't trust the listeners or the Twitter people.
You can also avoid questions, too.
Appropriate That's a- questions. I don't trust them to ask the proper question, so we won't do an Ask Abigail segment. That was the best you're going to get. What she's going to recommend, and she wound up with a Tubi original.
It's good. It's actually number one on Tubi, which is not...
That doesn't mean it's good. That doesn't confirm that it's good. It's not even good enough to get a rating for Rotten Tomatoes. That's how...
It has a rating.
I'm looking for it, and I can't see it. All I know is IMDb people gave it a rating, but not Rotten Tomatoes. But at least... Johnny Mox in it, and also the same guy who played Dawson Leary's in it. So that's the only appeal I'll have for it, but Noah Beck's in it, so I'm out. Okay, hour one is done. Hour two, when we come back, we'll get to some more sound regarding Kevin Durant and his respect for Ime Udoka. Some numbers for Alex Bregman now that he's a Red Sox, and maybe one of the reasons he chose to go there. And if there's anything that pops up as far as player reaction, we play some Dana Brown sound. If there's player reaction before we wrap it up, we'll get to that as well. Hour two when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.